Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here today. We got a lot of new faces today. Praise the Lord. Several. We're grateful to each one of you that are new here. We're glad that you came. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we didn't have Dave today to do his thing because his mother, which is afraid to fly, you know, so when she comes to visit, she makes that long trip on a train from California. So she's supposed to be here at 2:00 today. So I guess they're down there picking her up right now at the train station. And I thought to myself, you know, now, aren't we strange critters? All of us, really. We're so strange. You know, one of us wouldn't ride in a train at all. Another one won't ride in an airplane. Another one won't ride in a car. You think, wow. I can, you know, when they first come out with the horseless carriage, y'all, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You haven't lived that long. But way back yonder, you know, in fact, my dad told me a story one time. He was a young man, you know, I mean, and they had just come out with the Model A, you know, and, you know, it had a little bit of glass in it, but it had curtains on it and all that kind of stuff. And two of the old men there, you know, probably 60 or 70 year old, you know, them old guys, you know, that sit down on the street corner, you know, there at the courthouse and whittle, you know, after they get too old to do anything. And they were saying, hey, we need to go home. It's nearly lunchtime. Let's get in that car and we'll drive home and listen to the news on our radio. My dad made an astounding prophecy to those men as a young man. He said, I foresee that someday the day will come when you guys will be able to go home in that car and listen to the radio in the car while you're driving. And they said, son, we might as well take you down to the mental institution and lock you up now. Little did they know, or little did my dad know, what he was going to see in his lifetime. I remember one time he and I had been down to the valley, and we were flying my Mooney back in those days. That was a long time ago. But we'd been down there to farm, and we got through farming that afternoon, and of course, we were very fortunate. We had a little runway down there on the farm, and we had one on his farm down at Goldthwaite. And so we took off. It took us about an hour and 10 minutes to fly across there. It took about 7 or 8 hours to drive across there in the truck. But we would leave the farm down there, and about an hour and 10 minutes, we would be in the backyard. Mom would have supper for us after we'd worked baling hay and all that kind of stuff. We're flying along there, and Dad's looking out, and he says, son, he said, you know, if my dad was still alive, and I could tell him that one day I was going to have a son, and he would own an airplane, and we would be able to fly from the valley to our home in about an hour and 10 minutes. He said, you know, he wouldn't believe that, would he? And he said, you know, I'm here doing it, and I can't hardly believe it myself. And I think, wow, has things changed a little bit in our lifetime, has it? I mean, you know, when you're as old as I am, you know, I'm still just a young man. You know, I'm going to be 72 years old here in December. But I think about, you know, I still feel young and able to do everything I want to do. But I kid people because when I was a kid, you know, my dad was 50. He was ancient. You know, he was over the hill. You know, 50, I mean, good grief. I was 15 and Dad is 50. Well, he was old. And, of course, you know, when you get to be that age yourself, you get to thinking, well, hey, 70's not so old anymore, you know, especially when you're approaching it. But I want you to know I've seen some wonderful things happen this last week, and several things have happened. Some of you may be familiar with it and some not. You know, last week I went in to get a haircut, and I asked Tuesday, and I asked the girl if she had went and voted, and she said, no, I don't vote. I said, you have never voted in your life? And she says, no, that's something I just don't do. I said, you know, woman, let me tell you something. It's a woman in the barbershop that cut my hair. I told her, I said, you know, I went to Vietnam and took a chance on my life so you could go vote. and then you don't take it. You take it for granted that somebody else is going to do it and everything's going to go okay. I said, you probably don't even know what's going on in the world today. Well, she doesn't. You know, she really doesn't. She does not know what's going on. She had no idea. You know, I mean, she just comes to work and her barbershop, or not her barbershop, and not hers, she just works there. But she just comes and cuts a head of hair and gets her $10 or $12. Well, I don't know what she gets out of it, but they charge you $12 down there to cut your hair. I don't know what she gets. But anyway, she had no idea what's going on in the world. She just gets up in the morning, goes to work, cuts hair, and goes home in the afternoon, goes back to bed. You know, comes back the next day, and same thing. Don't have a clue what's going on in the world. You know, and some people are like that. But some of you may know that we had the greatest change in government last Tuesday we've had in a long time. And some of you, like this lady up here that's shaking her fist, I think she knows what's going on. She's like me. She's been reading, checking, and if there was, I don't know, I don't even know this lady yet, but I'm going to say, I think she's just like me. She was ready for a change. I was ready for a change, and I will have to say, we got it. We got a change, you know, and praise God, we got, there's never been such an overabundance of Republicans get in office so quickly as there has been this time. But I think the people of America are really tired of the change that was brought in by the administration that's there, and we want to change it. But now, folks, the battle's not over. We still have 2 months of those people that's in office. Now, I'm going to tell you, you better be on your guard. You better make sure you're praying, because in the next 2 months, I'm going to tell you, this administration is going to do everything they can do things that are bad and terrifying for the United States of America. So you need to be, if there's ever a time, you need to pray for your officials, you know, and the people that's in government. And then, of course, when the new ones take over in January, we need to pray for them too, so that they're not drawn aside like these others have been drawn aside and enticed with money and everything else, because the average person does not know what's going on in America. Now, a lot of you may or may not know that right after all, actually yesterday, just a few days after the election, how many of you know where your president went? Where'd he go, young lady? Yeah, he took off right away. Him and his wife took a trip, and they started out in India. Now, they're going to be in India. Now, something I was amazed at whenever... Now, stop and think about this. There has never been a vacation so well-planned and so expensive to the American people. He has taken with him 3,000 people, 65 airplanes, 34 warships, and they say this vacation, which they say it's a business trip, really, but they say this business trip is costing you and me $200 million a day. $200 million a day. Now, this is the same man that said whenever he was having trouble with General Motors, when they flew, the corporate executive flew over in their Lear jets or their Cessna jets, whatever, he said they shouldn't even be driving a Suburban, an SUV. They ought to be concerned with the money they're spending, the gas they're wasting, and they need to drive over there in some kind of an economy car. And this is the man that tells us how we need to live, and then this is the man that spends $200 million a day. Takes 3,000 people with him. Now, his trip is not going to stop in India. And, of course, another thing he's going to do in all these major Muslim countries, he fully plans to visit the big mosque in each one of them. So he's going to India. He's there already, and he'll be there till tomorrow. And I just happened to look up on the Internet his trip and see how his trip's going just earlier this morning. And as they were preparing for security to go to the museum in Mumbai, India, somebody noticed there was a high-rise building over here, and they thought, you know, there could be a radical Muslim that might shoot him from there. So a kilometer long, 5/8 of a mile long. They come in right quick and built an armor-proof tunnel, 12 foot wide, 12 foot high, 5/8 of a mile long, air-conditioned, no less, so he could walk in safety to the museum. I don't know if y'all are as ready for a change as I am, but I'm ready for a change. I'm ready for a change. This guy is spending our money. And of course, he's going to go to, he's already in India, and he'll be there for 3 days on his vacation. You know, he says it's not a vacation, it's a business trip. But then they're going to, from there they're going to go to Indonesia, and then he's going to visit the big mosque there. Then they're going to North Korea. You know, they're going to Japan, and then, North Korea. That's exactly what it said. It didn't say nothing about our buddies, South Korea. It said they're going to North Korea. And then they're going to China, along with Japan. So, also, if you don't know it, you know, the country, if you haven't been keeping up with what's going on, the country is in very bad financial condition. Do y'all know that? Do y'all know that they say there's 10 to 15% of the people out of work? You know, and it's amazing what's happening. You know, I'm not an economist, but you can't continue to pump money. You can't continue to print money and pump it into a society and not have... The same thing's going to happen to every other nation that's done this in history. There's been a collapse of their economy. Are you ready for a collapse? You know, if I was ever the bearer of good news today, I'm the bearer of good news. You better be glad you're a Christian today. You know, because if you're a Christian, that's the only hope you have. If you're a lost person today, or you're even a Christian that's not putting God first, you are in for something. Because what are you going to do? I mean, just think about this. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but we've had economists, I've been listening to all of them for the last 2 years, and they all say this is going to happen. The dollar is going to fall. Is that what they're saying? What are you going to do if it does happen? I mean, Tim and I was talking one day this week, my son. And, of course, he had just, you know, recently, some of you know, some of you don't know that, my son made a trip to Haiti to work with the people down there and help them out and to do things down there. And he was down there for, I think, a week or 7 or 8 days, whatever it was. And my son is a bodybuilder. He weighs about 200 pounds. I wouldn't want to confront him in a dark alley. I'll guarantee if he wasn't my friend. He is strong, but my son said he felt uncomfortable and unsafe the whole time he was in Haiti. Now then, if he feels uncomfortable and unsafe, I wouldn't want to go down there. But, you know, he said, Dad, I felt so sorry for those people. Said they're all living in tents or under nothing, with nothing to eat, scratching around for something to eat. And he said, now then, that the other morning we were talking, he said, the news says there's fixing to be a hurricane, and right now it's hit Haiti, and they're supposed to dump 1 to 1.5 feet of water on Port-au-Prince. Did it happen?
It did happen.
Okay. He said, I can only imagine, Dad, what it's like down there. He said, it was awful when I was down there before. But he said, now then, with a foot or foot and a half of water dumped in on top of this, he said, this is going to be devastating.
Cholera?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's something else he was telling me. That, in fact, I talked to a man this week, a good friend of mine, that had just flown a DC-3 down there and flown thousands of pounds of whatever that drug or whatever it is or whatever they need to, you know, to give the people the injections for cholera, that they say if you can get to it in the first 2 or 3, 4 days, you can save their life. You know, but if you don't, they're just going to die. You know, so isn't it amazing what's going on in the world? Now, Tim, he had no problem saying, Dad, I'm so grateful we live here in Justin, Texas. I'm so grateful I got a house to go home to. My children and my wife are all over there, and you're okay. And I know where I'm going to get my meal today. I don't have to worry about that. I got food waiting on the table. But, you know, some of us take that for granted. And we fail to praise the King for blessing us. You know, we need to just stop and praise Him once in a while. You know, this week, as you go through the week, don't get so busy that you can't go, because just say, just what if this were the week that we, I mean, just think, the people in Haiti, they didn't know until it happened, did they? Well, what if this were the week here that something devastating happened? You know, what if there was a bank foreclosure? You know, what would you do if you all of a sudden you heard that, you know, you can't get any money with a credit card no more? It's over. Your credit cards won't work. You know, it'll be just like me. When I go somewhere, I'm glad I carry two credit cards, because once in a while, I'll fly by one of those terminals somewhere as we're going somewhere, and we'll come through on Saturday or at night or whatever when there's nobody there, and I'll run my credit card through, and it says an error reading your card. And I'll run it through three or four times, an error reading your card. Now, here I am in an airplane in the middle of nowhere, and I've got to have fuel pretty quick. You know, I usually schedule everything where that I got enough fuel to go on, you know, a little ways. I don't get that close, but I usually plan on getting fuel where I plan on getting it, but sometimes it don't work. And so then I'll take my other credit card and I put it through. And so far, one of the two has always worked. Now, it's not like, you know, flying an airplane is not like driving your car. You know, I mean, if you run out of gas up there, wow, you know, you just don't want to do that, do you, Scott? In fact, when we were coming back from South Carolina the other day, we had stopped over in Alabama and got fuel, and then that we could fly from there nonstop to here, no problem. Well, we were on descent into the Metroplex area, and I was on the alternate fuels. Now, the alternate fuel tanks, you can fly an hour and 10 minutes and still have a little bit of fuel left. But usually at an hour and 15 to an hour and 18, you run out. We only done that one time on one tank, you know. And I mean, you know, there's no big problem. We switch tanks real quick. Dave's real good at that when we run out of fuel. He can do that in a hurry. But I told Dave the other day, I said, we got 58 minutes on the aux tank. So I said, in 2 minutes, I'm going to switch. Well, about that time, the controller started talking to me. You know, we're approaching the Metroplex. So we're getting down, we're going, he clears me to another altitude, and then he clears me to another heading, and all of a sudden, guess what? You forget about the fuel tanks, because you're talking to the guy. Now we're down to 2,500 feet above the ground, because the guy clears me on down to 2,500, and I happen to look down, and the tanks, you know, you're constantly looking when you're in an airplane. You just don't, you know, do things like you do in a car. I'm looked down and there's both of my fuel on aux. I thought, oh my goodness, look at Mark. I said, oh Dave, we got an hour and 10 minutes. Man, he switched them both real quick. I'm so, okay, so nothing happened. But see, you have to pay attention when you're flying an airplane. All the time. There's no room for error flying an airplane. But you know, some of us have not flown our lives very good with God. You know, we've kind of let things lapse. We're not paying attention to where we are, the times, what's going on. And so we just think, well, everything's been going like it has forever. It's going to be okay. There's not going to be a problem. But what if? What if this was the week that we had a week like Port-au-Prince had? What if? You know, I don't want to even think about us having an earthquake. Do you? No. But they didn't want to have that either, did they, young lady? But they didn't have a whole lot to say about that, did they? You know, so, and nobody knows what tomorrow holds. So, I mean, I think how strange this is that we have a government that has never done what this one's done. You know, this trip, they say it's a business trip. There's never been a time in history where a president's taken that many people, that many warships, you know, that many airplanes. And they say that General Motors car that they have to fly in, I guess a C-5A, I don't know what they fly that thing in. They take his own personal Cadillac, you know, that had been special built for him. And they say it's probably, as far as an automobile is concerned, it's the safest car in the world. You know, that thing must weigh tons. You know, it's absolutely, an unbelievable automobile. Said there's only one thing safer than that, and that's one of our fortified tanks. That's the only thing that's safer than this car that he rides around in. So, you know, I'm glad I don't have to ride around in something with that kind of fear that somebody's going to kill me. You know, I'm glad I know Jesus. Aren't you? Well, today is a good day to make sure that you know Jesus. Now then, we got some strange things going on in the world today. But there's a lot of people ask me questions about things when I say things. And I thought, you know, I'm going to give this to you so you'll know this. You know, I mean, the other day I was telling people about some of the devastating things that happens to you when you don't serve God. And people have a hard time with that. You know, I mean, God is the one that does this to me? Yes. I was listening to Dr. Charles Stanley this morning. He's one of my favorite preachers. And he's a great man of God. And he was saying himself, he said, you know, and he's got a big church with lots of people. And he's Baptist. And he says, you know, when you realize that everything comes from God, he said, it changes the way you do business. I thought, wow, the Baptists are getting a hold of this. Praise God. He said, when you realize God's doing this to you, it'll make you go right on through it without a problem. You know he's trying to do something. And boy, I mean, have I caught some flack in my life when I'm trying to say, you know, this time of trial that you're coming upon, Kim, God's doing this to you. I mean, you know that now, but Scott, you know that, don't you? But, you know, a few years ago, we didn't know that, did we? No, we wouldn't even have dreamed that, but now we do know these things. So I was talking to a little lady and her husband, they're both about 20 years old, this last week, and as I was talking to them, telling them what could happen to you if you don't obey God, she said, you know, this is scary stuff. I said, young lady, let me quote you a scripture. I said, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I said, everybody ought to be afraid of God. I mean, we ought to be. I mean, we ought to shake in our boots if we make a mistake and sin against him, thinking he could judge us today, just like he did Port-au-Prince. I mean, the world had a problem when that big preacher's name up in the north up there. Anyway, when he said that, he made a statement that this was a judgment of God upon Port-au-Prince. Who was that? Pat Robertson, that's who it was. Pat Robertson. He said that's a judgment of God. And man, the news media went crazy with that. I mean, this guy's an idiot. But he's not an idiot. You know, this nation had said, we don't want God. I mean, we don't want nothing to do with God. So God judged them. You know, I mean, you can read these stories all through the Bible. You'll find out that God does these kind of things. He's in control, whether we realize it or not. And, of course, some of the scriptures we read in the last couple of Sundays, you know, God, his ways are not my ways. He don't do things like we do things. He don't, you know, never would I have judged Israel because of their sin, would I say, okay, I'm going to judge you guys for 40 years. I'm going to torment you for the next 40 years. But that's what he said. Or when they come out of that, and then they got back in line with him for a few years, and they served him for a few years, and then they got crossways with him again, he said, okay, this time I'm going to judge you for the next 7 years. Isn't that something? We don't do things like that, do we? Now, we don't do that kind of stuff. But anyway, God does those kind of things. Now, I also told this little lady, I let that soak in on her for a little while. Then I went over and I tapped her on her and said, honey, let me tell you something else. There's a beautiful little 20-year-old girl. Her and obviously this boy just got married recently because they are married. So they couldn't be married long and be 20 years old, you know. So anyway, I said, I want you to meditate on this now. God, since you said this was scary, what we're telling you about, and it is. I said, but let me quote you something else. God clearly said in his word, if you obey me, I will withhold no good things from those that obey me. She said, wow, I like that. I said, yes. Now, let's go to Psalms 34:10. I want to show you just a couple of these little things in Psalms. We're going to go at least a couple of places. But in Psalms 34:10, I want you to see this, and we can put it on the NLT, or I don't care how you put it up there. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, just a minute. I was going to let my wife make a statement about Christ Haven. We'll do that just in a minute. In Psalms 34:10, even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. Is that true? I mean, boy, these boys are out there. I mean, they're out there looking for groceries. If you've ever been to Africa, you know what I mean. They're out searching for something to eat. But sometimes them boys get hungry. You know, they don't always get a gazelle or whatever. But those who trust in the Lord will how often lack any good thing? Now, do you like that? Those that are obedient and trust in the Lord. So let's put it this way. If you are going hungry and you're lacking things you need, what does that say? I mean, let's just bring it down to earth. What does that mean? There's something you're doing that's not pleasing the King. Is that right? In other words, if you're going hungry, if your needs are not being met, if He's not blessing you, you're having to worry about where you're going to get your next meal, you need to check out right here. You don't have to go any further than right here. If you're sick and afflicted, I know it's the health industry. They're the ones that's at fault. No. You only got to go right here. Here is my worst enemy right here. And yours is right there living inside of you. Now then, you know, I don't care what people say. I hear all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, they're putting all this junk in this food today. You can't eat nothing. It makes you sick. I disagree with that. God said in His Word, if you obey me, I will bless your food and your water. So if you're obedient, you can drink water, muddy water, out of a ditch, and it still be good for your body if you're obeying God, because He will bless it and make it purified and clean it. You know where I'm coming from, girl? If God blesses your food and your water, what's your water and food going to be like? It's going to bless your physical body. So I don't have to go down to the most expensive health food store in town and make sure I get all health food stuff. I can eat chicken fried steak and potatoes and all the kind of stuff that some, and I can eat deep fried or whatever I want to. As long as I serve God and obey Him, and I guarantee He's going to bless my food and my water, and I'm going to be healthy. Somebody says, well, I guess it does work for you. You know, you're nearly 72 years old, and you're still going like a young man. Something's working for you. Is that right, Tom?
It works.
You know that too, right, Tom? Yeah. So we don't have to be so careful about what we eat. If you pray over it and thank God for it and serve Him, He says He will bless it. But He says right here in Psalm 34:10, even as strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will never lack any good thing. Is that what He said? Now let's go to Psalms 84:11. And then we'll get back into the book of Judges. We'll finish that up today. Let's go to Psalms 84:11. I want you to see this. For the Lord God is our light and protector. He gives us grace and glory. Only a few good things will the Lord withhold. Oh, I didn't read that right? What did yours say, Kim? Oh, yours says no good thing. Oh, is that what He said? No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. So if you're totally obeying Him, this is two places now we've seen, so, and there's several of them in here. We're not going to go to any more of them. But with those two, we ought to learn right there that if we're obeying God and doing what's right in whose eyes?
His eyes.
His sight, not yours. Because you will do things you think is right in your own mind. See, I don't know, in fact, many of you in this room, I know very well. But many of you in this room, I don't know you at all. Maybe today or a week or two or a month or two is all I've known you. Maybe even a year for some of you. But I still don't know your heart. And I will never be able to know your heart, but God knows your heart. He knows what you've come through and what you've come out of. That's why God told me, He says, you just forgive them and turn them over to me and I'll judge them righteously. So see, He knows my heart. He knows what I've come through. By Him judging me, He knows if I am a well-developed, strong man that can handle things, or if I'm just a weak kid. He knows all that. And of course, I run into a lot of men that are 40 years old that are still weak kids. They're not men. You know, they're not men. You know, yeah, they go out and sleep with some girl and bring babies in the world, but they ain't men. They ain't men. They're not fathers. They're just boys. That's all they are. It's just boys. You know, they got one thing on their mind, sleeping with some girl. They hadn't got anything on their mind as what is to marry a woman, love her, protect her, and then produce children, and then provide for that woman and those children the things that they're supposed to, and be a daddy, a real dad, a father. Teach your children the things of God. You know, but these boys that don't get married, they just run around out there that's got three or four or five kids, and you know, it just amazes me. I run into people all the time, you know, everywhere, stores and shopping malls, everywhere, and I'll talk to them or get to know something, and I'll say something, and they'll say, I'll say, y'all's children. Oh, well, those are her children, not mine. And then my next question is, well, are y'all married? Well, no. Or are y'all living together? Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we want to know. We want to know why we're all sick and afflicted in America. We want to know why God, where is God in this? Why am I so underprivileged? Why is He not protecting me? Why is He not taking care of me? Why can I not keep a job? Why am I sick and afflicted? When the Word of God says He will withhold no good things. But that ain't what He said, was it? I will withhold no good things will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. See, you can't take a part of that thing out of context, can you? You know, even if it's God's special boy and He does things that are wrong, He's going to pay for it in judgment. Now, I'm going to take you from here to Judges 16, and I'm going to show you with this book of Samson. We've been in the book of Samson, on Judges, about Samson and his life. Today is the last one of those things. And in fact, before we get into Judges, let me let Cheryl tell you all about Christ Haven. It's that time of year again. Yeah, this is my lovely bride here. Praise the King.
Thank you, honey.
My bride. turn her on.
Thank you very much.
There we go.
And the kids are passing out these little flyers if you'd like to see them. Okay, this is our 9th annual Christmas benefit for Christ Haven for Children. You know, he was talking a while ago about how the people in Port-au-Prince felt about not having any place to live or eat or anything like that. Well, the comments from these kids are, I'm not hungry anymore. I don't have holes in my shoes anymore. I don't hurt anymore, or someone's not hurting me anymore. I thought only rich people got clothes with new tags on them. You know, so these kids are abused, abandoned, neglected children that cannot be adopted because their parents are in the penal system, most of them, or they've been on drugs or whatever. And some of them come there as a baby and live there, you know, till they're 18. And then what they do also, if these children have a part-time job, once they graduate, they go on into a Christian college. And they will pay for their college, but as long as they keep a part-time job. But anyway, again, this is our 9th annual one. So far, last year we raised $26,400. So far this year, I've raised $8,300 and I've spent $5,000. I've been out buying, but they're all wrapped. They're back there in the ministry room, and you know, they give me wish lists, and I try to get them everything that they want on their wish list, and I try to find the best deals. I buy a lot of things online, and Walmart this year told me they would give me 10% or better, and I went to meet the man the other night, and all the lights went off on Walmart in the parking lot, so He and I haven't, you know, settled that yet. Kohl's gives me 30% off on everything, which is beautiful. Oh, yeah. And being a ministry, of course, we don't have to pay taxes, and that's another blessed thing about the whole thing. But, you know, this is a privilege for us to bless these children.
Amen.
And if you give and or want to buy a gift, if you want to see the wish list and you want to pick out a child, like there's a little baby that's almost 4 months old, and it's an oversized baby. I think he's 16 and a half pounds. They said he's very big. Yeah, they don't even know what shoe size he wears because he's so big. And he just came into the system. We have 8 new children in the system. And we give all the new children Bibles. Everybody gets Bibles. You know, everything we sign, love Jesus. Every gift says love Jesus. When we start the thing, I always tell them about Jesus and about that how important it is for them to bless others, that all the things that we've done for them, and we make them appreciate the people that are there. And you can come to the event. It's December the 18th, Saturday from 1 to 3. You can come have dinner there with the children and, you know, just see it. I have a book. This book here has the last 8 years in it. We haven't got our 9th year yet. We're having to start a new book. But if you'd like to look at this, you can just see all the kids. 2 years ago, there was a little girl that we had to blot her face out. Because they'd been fishing in Waco, and some newspaper took pictures of them fishing. They put it in the paper. Some of the family of the father who was in prison, who had abused her, told him where she was then. He didn't know where she was. So for 3 months, she slept in fear, couldn't sleep, because she was afraid he would crawl in the window and kidnap her, you know, because he had been abusing her. And that was why he was in prison. So I'm just saying, you know, this isn't just some kids that, they need gifts. That's not it at all. These are kids that have nothing. They came into the system with nothing. Like, in fact, we have a new little boy, Andrew. He's 13. And they said, he needs tennis shoes. He doesn't have any shoes. You know? It's like, yeah, so I bought him some Vans and some other tennis shoes, you know. I got him a couple of pairs of tennis shoes. But, you know, it's like, but I can, at Kohl's, I get such great prices and 30% off. It's like, you know, I got a little kid's shoe. It was a $49 pair of shoes. They were on sale. And then with my discount, I got them for $6. Do you know? I mean, that's the way I shop. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. But it's Jesus, too. That's another thing. And it's like I got online and I bought all the girls from the littlest on to the junior high, the 15-year-olds from 5 to 15. There were 15 little girls in the group. And I bought them these crosses. And I wrote, it was eBay, but it was Pack Pawn is the name of it. I don't know if it's a pawn shop. It really doesn't matter. But they were beautiful crosses for $10, sterling silver. I wrote him a little note when I was paying for it, and I said, I need chains to go with them. I said, can you make me a deal on them? And you know what the man did? He sent them all to me. Sterling silver chains, just sent them to me, you know, because people are good. People are kind. And so anyway, if you want to help, we're blessed if you help us. Also, one other thing. Six Flags tickets. These children do not, after Christmas, they don't get anything. They don't get birthday presents. They don't get to go out to eat. They don't get to do anything. And one of their requests every year, and we've given it to them for 8 years straight, and this is the 9th year, is Six Flags tickets. Well, this year, Six Flags tickets are $60 a piece. They have gone up. I need 60 Six Flags tickets. Okay?
That's a season pass. Right?
That's a season pass, yeah. They go all year long. This is their only thing they get to do. Another thing that we did last year, because right as I was driving home, I was on the phone with someone, and they ended up giving me $2,500, which ended up paying the rest of all the Six Flags tickets. I had $1,000 left, and I'm driving along. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want to do with that other $1,000? And so they always say they love Chili's gift certificates because they don't get to go out to eat. So if they have those gift certificates, they can go to 5 restaurants, I think Macaroni Grill and something else on the border, whatever. So I said, oh, okay, I'll stop at Chili's, went in there, bought $1,000 worth of gift cards, and then the management gave them free appetizers, which was a blessing. Yeah, because you're buying $1,000 for Christ's sake, and they're going, oh, well, we want to help. You know, it's like people want to help. So anyway, that did give, so it gives some, when they graduate from college or if they have a birthday, then, because it's hard to take 50 kids out to eat. You know, it's hard. You can't just do that. And so, of course, 1 year CC's Pizza gave us free pizza buffets, 300 of them. So, you know, People help. So if you have used clothing, furniture, anything you just want to donate, they have a barely used resale shop. We give them all that, okay? So they make money off of that. So if you want to give money, just notate on your check. It's for the children or Christ Haven, whatever you want. And if you want to come help wrap, we love to have wrappers toward the end. Right now we're kind of wrapped up, but, you know, we love everything for you to help. And if you want to come see this, it'll be up here on the front. And thank y'all.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're blessed and you're a Christian?
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, I'll tell you a little quick story before we get into Judges chapter 16. Even before, I mean, sure, I guess it was the first year she'd come to my church. And I made a statement, you know, just from the pulpit here. I said, you know, this year for Christmas, don't go out and spend a lot of money on somebody for something that didn't want it that's going to take it back the day after Christmas. I said, you know, people, they go out and buy a lot of things, put it on their charge card, and they pay interest and everything and take the whole rest of the year to pay out what they bought for gifts for people that didn't need them or didn't want it. You know, I said, I just tell you the truth. I have everything I want. I have been so blessed in my life. I don't need a thing. So, you know, I don't care. If nobody gets me a single thing for Christmas, I'm not offended. In fact, I'd rather it be like that. I'd rather, instead of nobody, I don't want nobody to buy me nothing. I'd rather people go out, like I told them, find you some little children. Find you some little orphans or something somewhere. Don't worry about your pastor. He's well taken care of. God has blessed his socks off and then back on again. So, you know, I'm healthy, I'm young, I've got a little money in the bank, I've got my meals paid for, you know, I know that, I mean, if the world falls apart, I'm telling you, I'm still going to be able to eat tomorrow. You know, I don't care what happens. You know, I mean, like I say, if the whole world falls apart, I got a can of tuna in there I can eat on for a week, you know, so I ain't going to go hungry. And I'm not going to go hungry. You know, I'm going to make it. And then if a can of tuna runs out in a week, I still have a rifle, and I know how to shoot a deer. And I got a place down there where the deer are running wild, so I go down and shoot me a deer, and I know how to clean him. I know how to cut him up. I know how to cook him. So I'm not going to go hungry. You know, I'm okay. But I said, do something for these little children that can't go out and do these things. I mean, when you take children under 18 years old that have no place to go, that have no mother, father, or whatever, they need Christmas. And they need to know that Jesus is the one that gives them the Christmas. I said, this year, go out, and if nothing else, I said, I give them an example. I said, my wife that died in a car wreck years ago, I said, when she was alive, we used to go down, and at our Sunday school class, we'd take up an offering in our Sunday school class, and then we'd take that money, we'd put money with it, and we'd go down and take one or two of the children from Buckner's Orphans Home, and we'd take them at Christmas and buy them a wardrobe or two for school, you know, and it just blessed them. So I said, do something for children. And so Cheryl goes home, and she's listening to this. She goes home, and she gets some kind of a card from Christ Haven, this little orphan's home. She thought, wow, here's a little orphan. The pastor's talking about this. So she called her daughter and said, why don't we do a benefit and raise money and to provide gifts for these kids at Christ Haven for Christmas? And she's been doing it ever since. Like she said, this is the ninth year. Now, one year they really loaded Cheryl down. One year they gave her all these women. It's amazing how God does things. You know that? Because here, all of a sudden, we go from 30 or 40 children. Now then, she's got hundreds of women. 535 women to buy Christmas for. Oh, my goodness. Somebody says, oh, we didn't know. But that year, we got $65,000, $68,000 donated to the ministry. When we took on 500-something extra people, I mean, they ain't that many people comes to church. You know, we, like you said, we got 50 to 75 people come here. And when we got about birth or Christmas for 500 and something women for Christmas, who's going to pay for that? I know who's going to pay for that. The king's going to pay for that. And he sent the money. And everybody that needed everything got it. You know, they were blessed. Now then, the next year we didn't have near that many people, so Cheryl thought, wow, we raised $68,000 last year. I think we'll try to beat that this year, but she only got like $28,000, but she didn't have nowhere close to that many people. Now see, God... You got 46 children.
46,000.
Oh, 46,000. Oh, okay. Okay. She keeps good records of everything, and so all this money she spends for all these children. I will have to say, these children never forget the Christmas they had from Jesus. The Living Savior Ministry is a little tiny church as goes together with all of its people and buys all these gifts for these little kids, and these kids are blessed. Now, I will have to say, I think it was last year, year before last, I forget what it was, there was a little guy down there that he wasn't getting no gifts. He's sitting there, you know, watching everybody come up, and they're passing out gifts, and he ain't getting none. Nobody loves me. You know, then all of a sudden, you know, his name gets called. Oh, you know, he goes up there and gets a gift. Before he gets back, his name gets called again. And boy, I mean, back, he's back and forth, back and forth. Man, he's bringing them to the table. I bet that kid got 15 presents. I mean, man, this kid is on top of the world. He ain't never got gifts like this in his life. That'll make a grown man cry. When you look and see how you've been blessed in your life. And these little guys, some of them had never had a Christmas. Some of them had been raised up in abusive homes with daddies that abuse them, either beat them or sexually abuse the little girls and everything else. Awful things happened. And they never had no Christmas. Nobody ever bought them nothing. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. And they get all these wonderful gifts, everything their hearts desire. But you know, what did God say? Before we get into Judges chapter 1, I want to take you to Luke 6:38, and I want you just to see another one of God's promises. Look at this, Luke 6:38. Look at this awesome statement. Almost nobody believes God's word. You know, we just don't believe him. But look what he says. If you give, this is the NLT, if you give, you will receive. Now, what do you got to do?
Give.
You got to give. That's right. You will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. Now, see, I had a guy call me the other day and want me to get on the radio here in Metroplex. And I said, what station are you on? He said, 1610. I said, I never heard of 1610 in the Metroplex. I said, I don't... He said, well, we're a big station, powerful. I said, well, how much does it cost to be on your station? He said, only $110 for 15 minutes every day. I said, you're going to charge me $110 for 15 minutes... I said, I was on a station here in the Metroplex that was very powerful that you could get for 150 miles, maybe 200 miles away from the Metroplex. And I said, they only charged me up to $60 a day. And I said, but I thought that got to be too much. And so I said, I finally quit. But I said, $110 a day? And I've never even heard of you? I said, no. I said, he said, what do you think I ought to do? He said, maybe I could cut you a deal. I said, cut me a deal. He said, what kind of deal do you want? I said, I want you to give it to me for nothing. He said, nobody could live like that. I said, you're talking to a man that runs a ministry that gives away 10,000 CDs and DVDs a week and ships them all over the world and don't charge nobody for nothing. I said, I never charge nobody for nothing. And I said, this ministry has never been short of cash. Never. I said, I've never had to borrow. Rosemary goes to the store every week and brings her her station wagon, whatever you want to call it, bring her car full of CDs and DVDs every week, don't you, Rosemary? Yeah, 10 to 12,000 a week. Now, we pay them for them. They don't give those to us. But these 450 teachings you see around the wall here, we send those out at the tune of about 10,000 a week, somewhere all over the world. And I think that's how you ladies heard about us. Somebody gave you one. Is that right?
Yes.
See, that's how it happens. That's why these two ladies are church today. They never heard of us until just recently. And somebody gave them a CD. And they listened to it. And I don't know whether they liked it or didn't like it. I didn't ask them yet. I didn't know whether they'd come to kill me today or to... I don't know. I've had it both ways. You know, I've had people call me and say, if I ever hear you again, I'm going to come up there and kill you. I don't like what you said. I've had that happen. So I've had a lot of people in my life tell me they don't like me. But the people that say they don't like me, when they get healed, then they love me. You know, that's the good part. I mean, I look at this little lady back here. Stand up, girl. I'm not going to make fun of you. I want everybody to know. This little girl right here, she gave a great testimony last week. This little girl, she told about, she told me last Sunday that when the first time she came out here and she listened to me, she said, I didn't like you. Because I hit her sin. And she didn't like it. And then I kept telling her, and of course her mom and dad finally enticed her to come back a couple of times, and she heard me teach. And then she came up and she says, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. She just, how old are you, honey? 23, okay. Lauren. So 23 years old, and she was having a problem with her headache, with her stomach ache. She's having all kinds of problems. Now, you know, when you're 23, you're not supposed to have these kind of problems, right? So I told her, I said, you know, God has sent a tormenting spirit to torment you because of your sin. She said, you mean to tell me that if I stop sinning and start walking with God, you can pray for me and he'll take away all of this? I said, honey, I guarantee he will. And she came up last week with tears in her eyes as she told this group how she had stopped sinning, how she's putting God first. We prayed for her and how God healed her before. I mean, isn't God wonderful, honey? Yeah, he's wonderful. Now, see, now, when I preach God's word, and if you happen to be living in a given sin, you know, in other words, if you're grumbling and complaining, and I say God hates grumbling and complaining, you say, well, I ain't going back to that church no more because I don't like, nobody, God would expect me to go through life without grumbling and complaining, but he does. He does. And we just don't understand these things, but you know, God is so awesome in this book, and the only way you can learn about God is read about him in the book. And that's what we're doing about Samson. Now then, I want to, after we saw here about give, it'll be given to you. That's why we give in this ministry, and that's why Cheryl and I give from this ministry to Christ Haven. She buys, in fact, she asked me, said, are you going to give more money this year than you did last year? I told her, no. I'm going to give the same thing this year I gave last year. You know, and I said, I got blessed off of what I gave last year, so I know I'll get blessed this year. But we give a very significant gift to Christ Haven, I will have to say. But anyway, let's go to Judges chapter 1, and I want to show you what God says here about this man. We've been talking about this little man that God raised up, a little couple that couldn't have children, that godly couple that God came and told them they were going to have a son, and told them what they were supposed to do, how they were supposed to eat, the things they were supposed to eat and everything. And God says, I'm going to raise him up to judge the Philistines because I have turned Israel over to the Philistines because of their sin. Now then, because of their sin of abusing Israel, I'm going to judge the Philistines. And so he raised up Samson to judge the Philistines. And we've seen things. We saw last week about how he wanted to pick a wife and how he went to the Philistines and he wanted this beautiful girl and his mother and daddy didn't understand it. And they said, can't you at least get a girl from our own clan? And he says, no, I like her. I want her. And it says the parents didn't understand. God was moving on his heart to cause him to want her. So God is in this whole thing. So when you begin to understand that God's running the show, you know, in other words, if you're paying attention when we talk about Samson wanting a wife, if you're paying attention to God when you're growing up and you're a young person, a boy or a girl, and you look at all kinds of different, let's say you're a girl, and you look at all kinds of different boys, you run into different boys on a regular basis and nothing, you know, you do, oh, well, he's a boy, you know, no problem, you know. Well, yeah, maybe he's a good-looking boy or whatever. But one day something clicks when you look at one. There's a little something extra in there. Pay attention. Start listening to God. He was just telling you, that boy right there is to be your mate. You say, well, but there's something about him I don't like. Well, give it a little time. You know, something clicked right there. Now, how many women have been to me and asked me to marry them to a man? And I say, well, is he a Christian? Well, I don't know. I haven't asked him yet. I said, what? He's asked you to marry him, and you have agreed, and you don't even know if the man's a Christian? I said, does he go to church with you? I've never seen him here with you. Well, no, he won't go, but he promises he'll go after we get married. I said, he's lying. He's lying. I said, you want to get, well, what should I do? I said, get rid of him, throw him away like a hot coal. He's not the one. See, if God's in it, the boy will go to church with you. You know that? Yeah, if he's the right one. You know, so that's what I'm saying is make sure you're listening to God for your mate. You make sure you're not looking on your own. Make sure you're not saying, boy, look at this good-looking woman. I want her to be my wife. No, we're going to read a story about a man today that got sucked into that, and you're going to see what it cost him. Let's go to Judges chapter 16, verse 1. One day Samson went to the Philistine city. Let's read this out of the NLT. Can you switch me over to the NLT? Oh, that is the NLT. I'm sorry. Okay. One day Samson went to the Philistine city of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. Now, why would God put such a thing about one of his favorite sons? Why would he put that in the Word of God? Yeah, what if it's not yours, how does yours read? What does it say? In Judges 1, verse 6, chapter 16, verse 1. What does it say? Well, a harlot, that's a prostitute. That's what that is. A harlot is a prostitute. Yeah. And he did. He spent the night with this girl. Well, I know, I'll take that back. He didn't spend the night with her, but he spent most of the night. He spent half of the night with her. Here's the thing about the Word of God. When you read it in today's NLT, the New Living Translation, some of the words make more sense because they're used like we read them. And sometimes if we get into the King James, if you're really not up on some of the words, you may not understand what some words are. But you'll have to study it, and when you study it, you'll find out it says the same thing. So that's why I wanted to read this in New Living Translation. One day Samson went to the Philistine city of Gaza, spent a night with a prostitute. I mean, does that tell us he was a normal man? A young man that when he looked at a woman, he wanted to have sex with a woman. Is that what boys do? Sure. I mean, every girl in the world, let me warn every young lady in the world, be careful with boys because boys have three things on their mind. Sex, and sex. Every young boy. Now then, I'm telling you, in fact, I was teaching a healing school here a while back, and I was telling the people, I said, you need, after your children get to be 6 or 7 years old, don't never leave a boy and a girl together at home. They said, and one of the women, after the thing was over, she came up, she said, Pastor, when you said that, if something hadn't have happened in our home just recently, I would have said you're crazy when you said 6 or 7. But she said, we came home the other night, my husband and I, and walked into our children's bedroom unannounced. They didn't know thought we were going to be gone for a long time. Our 10-year-old son was in the bed with our 8-year-old daughter having sex with her. 10 and 8. She said, now, if I hadn't seen that with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. But she said, it happened in our home. That's why I'm telling you. You know, you got to pay attention today. You can't leave your boys and girls together. There's too much junk on the internet. The other day, I'm in there looking for specs on an airplane. And I type in specs on an airplane, and it goes to one of many sites. One of them, down at the bottom, says specs about an airplane. So I clicked on it, and it went somewhere where I didn't know where it was, but it wasn't specs about an airplane. So I thought, well, that's not what I want. It had a list of a bunch of stuff. Now, so I hit the back arrow key to go back to the same place I was. And bam, there was a porno site with multitudes of little square pictures of everything evil you can imagine. I wouldn't even begin to tell you what I saw. It was awful. And I thought, I'm an adult man, I can handle that, but I'm not going to look at that junk. So I immediately closed that out, and I went and got Dave. I said, Dave, come show me how to get rid of this. You know, Dave finally had to reformat my hard drive. We could not get rid of that thing. Every time he'd go somewhere, all of a sudden, these terrible porn sites would come back on my screen. We had, now I thought, now what if this was some 10-year-old kids at home looking for something on the internet? They would have seen this junk. And you think your 10 or 12 or 14 or 15-year-old son is going to come tell you, Dad, I just clicked on the button and it was some pretty awful stuff. You want to come look at this, Dad? At 15, you know what they know? They know more than you think they know. They understand. It's just amazing. Yeah, I know. It's awful. But that's why you have to be very careful about what your children are doing on the internet. But anyway, back in this day, we see here that boys were still boys. Samson was one of God's special little boys. He's a young man, probably, you know, who knows, 20 years old or whatever here. But he went over to Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. Isn't that something? I would never recommend you do this as a young man or an old man, because it will take you to the pit of hell, the Word of God says. It says, word soon spread that Samson was there, so the men of Gaza gathered together and waited all night at the city gates. They kept quiet during the night, saying to themselves, when the light of morning comes, we will kill him, because he's going to leave her house and go home. And so we'll just be waiting for him. Well, let's see what the Scripture says in verse 3 and 4. But Samson stayed in bed only until midnight. He only stayed in there with his girl half a night. You know, he went in there and he did whatever he wanted to do, and now we all know what he did. Then he got up, took hold of the city gates with his two posts and lifted them, bar and all, right out of the ground. Now, let me tell you what. I mean, I'm a farmer, and I've had gates not near big as a city gate, but I've had gates in the ground that are sitting with a couple of poles, and if I want to move those poles, I got to have some kind of a hydraulic operator tractor to pull just two poles out of the ground. And they're usually not in the ground, but about 2 feet or maybe three at the most. And you have to have some kind of a piece of equipment to pull that out of the ground. And then when I get it pulled out of the ground, you think I can go over as a man and pick up those poles and that gate? No, I got to have equipment to do that. Here this guy, as we found out the last 3 weeks, when the Holy Ghost comes upon Samson, that's when he was supernaturally strong. Well, is that Holy Ghost that he had the same one we have? Yes, it is. Same Holy Ghost. Now, can the Holy Ghost manifest himself in different ways, different people, different ways? Yes, he can. I mean, he could take some little child, like these little children here on the front row, he could take one of them and put some kind of supernatural power in one of those children that they can do anything if he wants them to do it. You know that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was amazing. I spent so long ago, I forgot about that. There was a couple that had two children. One of them was like 10, I think, or 8, 10 and 8, two boys. And their mother, and the daddy, he's lost. He's not. They owned a horse farm. And they heard me talk about on the teaching, of course, they started ordering some of our stuff and listening to it, and they heard me talk about how we can ask for supernatural strength, or we can ask for an angel to come help us. I give them examples when angels helped me put up big heavy walls and things that I couldn't do on my own. I've had so many of those wonderful experiences, and God let these children listen to this. Now, these kids, when I'm talking about an angel coming helping them, they got their ears tuned in. Wow, Pastor Thurman says he's asked angels to come help him. So they're out there one day and they're on the farm, and the daddy says, boys, why don't y'all take the water out of that tank? He said it was about a 6-foot round tank, and it's about 18, 20 inches deep. Why don't y'all take all the water out of that tank so we can clean it out? And I said, okay, Dad. So he said, this little 10 and 8-year-old boy, they started dipping it out with a bucket. And, you know, kids, you know, in a few minutes, they ain't going down very far. So the little 10-year-old said, brother, why don't we ask God and Father in the name of Jesus to send us an angel to help us just turn the tank up on his side? And we can pour all the water out. Well, they tried to pour it. First of all, they tried to pick the tank up. You know how much a tank that full of water, you know, water weighs over eight pounds per gallon? And you take a 6-foot tank that deep, it weighs hundreds of pounds. and they was going to try to tilt that up on sides. They didn't know, but they couldn't do it. So one of them said, well, you know, I've seen people take a lever, and he went and got him a 2x4 and a block and put it, and he tried to do that, but he still couldn't even budge it. That's when he thought, hey, Pastor Thurman said he asked God to send an angel to help him. So he said, Father, in the name of Jesus, will you send us an angel to help us pour this water out? He said, you remember what he said? Now then, when you ask, all you got to do is thank God and believe it's done, and then pour the water out. Well, it's 10 and an 8-year-old boy. And so he said, we asked the Lord to send us the angel. We thank him. I said, now, little brother, get a hold of the tank. He said, they got a hold of the side of it. They tilted it right up on side, poured all the water out. The daddy come around the corner, and he says, how did you boys get that tank up on edge like that? Oh, I said, Daddy, it was real easy. We asked God to send us an angel, and he did. Now then, Daddy is not a believer in Jesus. Daddy's got a problem, hadn't he? Because if you got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, you know they didn't pick up that water tank, right? I mean, you ain't going to be that dumb, are you? You ain't going to be dumb enough to believe that you got an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old that's going to pick up a 500, 600, 700, 800, maybe 1,000 pounds of water and tilt it up on edge and pour that tank out. So there's only one explanation. Dad, you know, remember, we listened to Pastor Thurman's tape, and he said he asked God to send an angel. And so we just asked him and said, then he said, all you got to do is thank him and then believe and it's done. And so said we asked and thanked him, and then we got a hold of it and said, it's real easy, Daddy. It wasn't hard at all to raise up the tank. Now, isn't that amazing? Now, there's one of two things happens. Either God sent them boys an angel, or he sent them a supernatural anointing of the Holy Ghost like he did with Samson. He could have done it either way, right? Because Samson, what did Samson, as long as he's anointed with the Holy Ghost, what did he do as these boys are waiting at the gate to kill him? He goes down and what does he do to the gate, the post and everything? Pulls it all up. Now then, let me tell you, if this young boy comes along here and he not only pulls the post out of the ground, but he takes the gates and the whole limb, throws it up on his shoulders, walks up on the top of the hill at Hebron and throws it down and says, okay, any of you boys want to mess with me, come on. I ain't going to mess with him, are you?
No.
I mean, them boys didn't want to mess with him either, because when the Holy Ghost is on you, if you're about God's business, he will provide us the resources and the power to protect us during anything that goes on in this time that we're enjoying right now with our administration. Who knows what's going to happen, but God, we don't have to worry. Now, when you get into fear, you lose everything. God don't operate in fear. And that's where so many people go. They get in, oh, my goodness, the world's just collapsed. What am I going to do? I'm going to starve to death this week. That's right. That's what you're going to do. You're going to starve to death this week. But if you stay in faith and you remember the Scripture and you start quoting the Word of God, the Lord's going to take care of me, you know. And, of course, I had that great story. I don't think I told you all the other day. I was on a radio show in Florida, and this guy, he asked me, he said, do you ever go out to any, after we had the 45-minute radio interview down in Florida, he said, do you ever get to speak at any third world nations? And I said, well, I've been invited to speak at several, but I've never went to one yet. He said, well, I did. I went to Africa. He said, they told me it was going to be a pastor's conference. And I said, how many people do you think is going to be there? He said, well, we don't really know, but we put out a lot of invitations, so there could be anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000. So he said, okay. So he said, I'm preparing, praying, and everything, getting ready. And the Lord literally speaks to me and says, take communion service with you. And when you get down there with all those pastors, have communion. So, okay. So he goes out and he said, I buy a kit of this stuff. There's 4,600 servings in the container. And he said, after we got to thinking about this, I got to thinking, I must be losing my mind. You know, 4,600, that'll probably have beat way too many, so we only took 2,000 with us. So he said, we get down there, and we get there, there's over 5,000 men sign up for the thing. He said, like a dummy, Lord, he said, I had 4,600, now there's over 5,000, and I only brought 2,000. He said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I'll just pass them out till we run out. So we start opening the boxes and pulling the seals off of them, and I'd hand them to a guy, and he'd take a sheet of those communion, and he'd start passing them out. And he said, we kept handing them out, and handing them out and handing them out. And he said, finally they said, that's enough. We've served everybody. He said, what? I mean, I thought there's 5,000. They said, they're over 5,000. He said, I brought 2,000. He looked down in the box and there's still a full one down in the box. Now what is our God able to do? You know, when we get to where, if we ever get to where we can trust Him, you know, if we ever get to the point where we can trust God, He will do great and wonderful things for us. But we have to believe Him. But anyway, I was really blessed by His testimony about how God is still in the business of multiplying. He's still there. And it's wonderful when you get to talk to a man that it happened to. You didn't get it secondhand. He was the pastor it happened to. But it says here, he took the gates right out of the ground, he put them on his shoulders and carried them all the way to the top of the hill across from Hebron. Later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah. Now, how many of you have ever heard the story of Samson and Delilah? You know, I mean, almost everybody in the world has heard the story of Samson and Delilah. This is a great story. Who lived in the valley of Sorek. Okay, verse 5 and 6. Let's see what happens here. The leaders of the Philistines went to her and said, find out from Samson what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, I don't know how many of those guys there were, but this is some serious money. 1,100 pieces of silver. You know? Wow. What if somebody were to come in today and say, I want to give you... I have some silver dollars that were made before 1965, and I want to give you 1,100 of those. Let me tell you, it'd be worth some serious money, you know it? Because silver's up to $25 an ounce now. You know, $25 an ounce and still going. I talked to a man the other day over at Mender Wells. Last year, he bought silver at $8 an ounce. And the day I was there, he sold 10 ounces of it for $24 an ounce. Tripled his money in a year. I thought, wow. I told him, I said, whatever you do, don't sell it all. He said, well, I don't plan to. I needed some extra money. So he said, I had to sell 10 ounces, but I'm going to keep the rest of it. But they want to know what makes this guy so strong. Nobody would dream it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, we just don't even think about the Holy Spirit being the one that makes us strong. Holy Spirit is the one that makes us knowledgeable. I mean, when we pray, isn't that amazing that we, under the new covenant, we can pray for things and ask God, ask the Father in the name of Jesus to send the Holy Ghost to give us knowledge, wisdom, revelation, understanding, and all these things, and He will do it. But when you ask, you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. If you don't ask in faith, and that's where so many people go wrong, I pray for you for wisdom today. I've done it for many people. And then they start out the door and I said, well, did you get your wisdom? Well, I sure hope so. What do you think happened? They didn't get it. No, they didn't believe it was done. They should have said, well, didn't you pray? Yes. Didn't you pray in faith? Yes. Well, then praise God, it's done because it's written in God's Word. That person gets it. That person will get it. It will manifest in the next few days. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me what makes you so strong and what it would take to tie you up securely. Okay, I can understand her doing this to him. But let's see what happens to verse 7 and 8. Samson replied, if I am tied up with 7 new bowstrings that have not yet been dried, I will be as weak as anyone else. 7 new bowstrings. Now, if you read that in the King James, you won't understand it at all. You know, you won't even know what they are. But in this, you can understand this. So the Philistine leaders brought Delilah 7 new bowstrings, and she tied Samson up with them. Now, she's lulled him off to sleep in her lap, you know. I mean, I can just see her. You know, this Delilah, she has got to be some kind of a beautiful woman. You know that? Samson, he didn't mess with the normal women. You know, he had to have the most beautiful there was. I mean, you know, they're what you would call the movie stars of Hollywood. He wanted beautiful girls. That's what he wanted. And so that's what attracted him. As every time, that's what attracted him. Their beauty. So Delilah obviously was a beautiful woman. And she got the 7 new bowstrings. She obviously didn't have no trouble when she told the Philistines she needed 7 new bowstrings. And so, man, they got them for her. And then she didn't have any problem lulling him to sleep and then tying him up with 7 new bowstrings. And then let's look and see what happens. She had hidden some men in one of the rooms in her house. And she cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But Samson snapped the bowstrings as if there were strings that had been burned in a fire. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this would say something to me. Are you getting the picture? Duh. You know, I mean, one time I might understand. Afterwards, Delilah said to him, "You made fun of me. And you told me a lie. Now please tell me how you can be tied up securely." If I'm that guy, you think I'm going to trust this woman? I ain't that dumb, girl. I mean, I may not have the same Holy Spirit he had. I think I do. But I don't know what the Holy Spirit's done to me, hadn't it done to him. But somewhere, the Holy Spirit wasn't working on his brain, was he, Scott? I mean, how can a man be this dumb over a beautiful woman? But you know, I have seen men that are this stupid. But not only have I seen men that are this stupid, this gives us a picture in the church today of what is available to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has told us over and over again what belongs to us and what to do. And do you think we believe him? Nope. You know, he makes that one simple little statement. Now, folks, don't go out and sin because sin brings forth death. Do we believe that? Obviously not. Because you think of the people that are in the church that are out sinning. Think of those that lie. Think of those that call themselves Christians that will go into the Walmart and pick up something, put it in their coat. Or just like this week, I was down buying some stuff, and I was buying some paneling, some floor paneling, and I bought some from Home Depot. And I had the guy help me count it out, and I had 35 sheets. And so when we walked up there, he told the girl he has 35 sheets. That's not what she heard. She heard 25 sheets. So, when she put 25 on there, and she come up with a total, I'm calculating all this in my brain. And I'm walking out, and I get outside, and I thought, you know, this don't compute. So I got my receipt out, and I started looking down through there, and everything was right except 25. In fact, she had drawn a black circle around that, which I couldn't hardly read. But I don't understand why they do that. But anyway, it says, I could see it looked like a 2 instead of a 3. And so then I looked at the total price, and I knew what they cost per sheet. I said, okay, she charged me for 25. So I go back in, and I said, we have a mistake. And by the time I got back in there, she had changed positions, and a man had come to take over her register. And so I told him, I said, sir, I got a problem. And he knows me well. So he said, what's the problem, Thurman? And I said, well, the guy that come up here told the girl I had 35 sheets of plywood, but she only charged me for 25. He looked at that and he says, wow, she sure did. He said, man, that's $120. I said, yeah, I know. And I don't want to pay for it 7 times. Because, see, people don't understand. If you steal something, God says, I will require you pay for that 7 times. Now, that would have made that paneling expensive. See, do you know Christians that don't believe that? Oh, yeah. Oh, I made $120. Ooh, I mean, that's their problem, not mine. I heard the guy tell them 35. She misheard it. No problem. It's not my fault. I'll just made $120 a day. No, it just cost you $1,000. Just cost you $1,000, but you don't have a clue. Because God says, now then, how many of you believe God was right there listening to everything that was done during that transaction? Yeah, he's not hard hearing, is he, young lady? He don't never miss nothing. He gets everything right exactly. He knows the girl. He knows the guy said 35. He knows the woman heard 25. But he's going to put the responsibility on me as a test to find out what I'm made out of. So I go back in there and tell the guy, I said, I got 35 instead of 25. And he said, okay. He said, yeah, that guy a while ago said, I was over there with him. He's counting. And I know he had 35. And so he said, okay. He said, Thurman, everybody's not as honest as you are. But he said, if I ever met a man that's honest, I know you're honest. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? I said, what? He said, I'm going to give you a 10% reduction on those last 10 sheets. So I got one of them for free. Now, isn't that amazing? So I got 9, and I got 10 for the price of 9. Now, does it pay good dividends to go back in and get a 10% discount instead of having to pay 7 times because you sin? But if people that don't know, how many Christians, or maybe you've done this yourself, you've been in and you bought something, and when you get out, you're computing, you think, well, that woman in Walmart, she gave me the wrong amount of change. Or she didn't. Oh, I got 8 of them, and she only charged me for 6. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. No, you better not be thanking Jesus for that, because you're going to pay for that. You know, when you know it's wrong, and you keep, it's a lie, and it's thievery. And you're caught, and the devil's over there saying, oh, God, look at your stupid little son there. Woo! Now then he's sinned. Let me get him. And the Lord says, okay, I'm in trouble. Y'all understand that? If God says okay, I'm in deep trouble, aren't I, Tom? And it's going to cost me. But it says she had hidden these men in there. You made fun of me, and you told me a lie. Now please tell me how you can be tied up securely. Well, I'm telling you what, if you tell her anything, would it be a good deal to tell this girl a lie? Did Samson tell her a lie? Yeah, he did. Sure, he did. Yeah. Because she's got bad stuff on her heart. Let's see what happens in 11 and 12. Samson replied, now this is the second time. Now that's when I said, you know, this one time I might get sucked into this one time. But the second time, I'm saying, girl, forget it. I don't need you. You know, I mean, if I can't trust you, I don't need you. Is that the way it is? Yeah. But see, this guy, he's a dummy. He's just like we are. Samson replied, if I'm tied up with brand new ropes that have never been used, I will be as weak as anyone else. So Delilah took new ropes, and again, she had to entice him to go to sleep or something. And she tied him up with them, and then the men were hiding in the room as before. And again Delilah cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But Samson snapped the ropes with his arms as if they were threads. Now this is two times. Eric, this guy's got to be an idiot. I mean, he's really sucked in, right? But does it still happen to people today? Sure it does. The same thing. You know, I mean, somebody does something, you know, and we get sucked into something. Somebody does us wrong, and we just keep on, keep on, and keep on, and keep on doing it again and again. So, you know, when you see Samson, you think, boy, what a dummy. Hey, you need to be careful. Because you're probably talking about yourself, you know. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Let's go to verse 13 and 14. Then Delilah said, you have been making fun of me and telling me lies. Won't you please tell me how you can be tied up securely? Samson replied, if you weave the 7 braids of my hair into the fabric on your loom and then tie it with a loom shuttle, I will be as weak as anyone else. So while he slept, Delilah wove the 7 braids of his hair into the fabric. Now folks, this is 3 times. This guy has got to be blinded with lust for this woman. She's got to be a beautiful knockout, and it don't matter what she's doing, he ain't seeing nothing. His eyes are totally blinded. I just can't imagine. But it says then, and she tightened it with the loom shuttle, and again she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But Samson woke up, pulled back the loom shuttle, yanked his hair from the loom and the fabric. This is 3 times, verse 15 and 16. Then Delilah pouted. Now, did we read a story the other day about Samson's wife? You know, did she tell him, oh, you don't love me or you would tell me the riddle? Now then, because, I mean, and of course what happened was her companions, the Philistines, they came to her and said, your husband, he's given us a riddle and we've taken him up on the venture. Now then, we don't know what it means. We can't figure it out. So you either get him to tell you or we're going to kill you and your daddy and burn you to death. Burn down your house and you're going to be in it. You're going to burn you to death. So boy, she wants, goes to her husband and tell me, please, please. And she begs and pleads and nags all these days until he gets sick to death of her listening to her nagging. Well, now, instead of staying with her all that time, being sick to death or nagging, what should he have done? He went home. He should have went home or something. He should have went somewhere. Don't stay there and listen to a nagging woman. If she's nagging and won't shut up, just get in the car and go somewhere and, you know, get something to eat or something. Give her time to cool off. But don't stay there and listen. That's what Samson did the last time with his wife. And then, of course, as we know, we heard the story last week about what he done, you know, whenever he finally told her after he got so sick and tired of listening to her nagging, you don't love me. You know, if you loved me, you would tell me. And so he finally told her. Well, then what'd she do? Immediately run and told the Philistines. And then because she did what she did, it made Samson so mad, he went downtown and killed 30 men. And then he went home and wouldn't even go back in with her. And then he come back a week or two later to go to bed with her, and her father had given her to his best man. And so he wouldn't let Samson go into his own wife. He says, take her sister. You know, I've given her away. I thought you didn't love her. And so Samson got so mad, and then he went out and got 300 foxes and set a torch to their tails and sent them through all the grain fields and burned all the grain fields and the olive groves and everything else. And then everybody was mad, and they said, why? Who did this? And they said, Samson did it. Why? He said, because his father-in-law and his wife did something he didn't like. And so the Philistines went over there and killed her and the father-in-law and burned her house after all. Isn't that amazing? You would think this guy would learn. You would think he would learn. But there's a message in this for you and me to believe God's word. Today we need to believe it. Then Delilah pouted, how can you say you love me when you don't confide in me? Let me ask you this question. How many of you would have confided in this woman? I mean, even you women. Any of you? You wouldn't confide in her, would you, Kim? I mean, if you've seen her do what she's done supposedly to her lover, you know, I mean, if she loved this guy, you can tell. Man, she sold out to the Philistines. She's just in it for money. She didn't care nothing about Samson. You've made fun of me three times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. So day after day, she nagged him until he couldn't stand it any longer. Now, what could he have done the first day? That's exactly right, young lady. And that's what I would have done. I would have left, but he stayed there with her. Why did he stay there with her? Lust. She was a beautiful woman, and he was probably sleeping with her every night. His lust for her was blinding his mind to who she really was. Does that still happen to people? All the time. It happens all the time. Verse 17 and 18. Finally, Samson told her his secret. My hair has never been cut, he confessed, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else. Delilah realized he had finally told her the truth, so she sent for the Philistine leaders. Come back one more time, she said, for he has told me everything. So the Philistine leaders returned and brought the money with them. Now then, when we say sin brings forth death and sin has consequences, let's see what kind of consequence this had to Samson. Let's see what the next two verses says. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. Can't you just see her? This beautiful woman that he lusts for with his head laying in her lap and how she's just putting herself all over him. Can't you just see this? Lust. You know, men are just stupid. When it comes to a woman, we're stupid. Very few of us will not yield to sexual sin. When God says He hates it, we are stupid. All of us, including Samson. So Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and she called in a man to shave off his hair, making his capture certain, and his strength left him. Then she cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." When he woke up, he thought, "I will do as before and shake myself free." But he didn't realize who had left him? The Holy Spirit, the Lord had left him. Was his strength in his hair? No. His strength was not in his hair. His strength was in the Holy Spirit. Where is mine and your strength? In the Holy Spirit. Is our strength in our hair or anything else that we got? No. What strength and everything we have is in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that lives in us. If God has given us supernatural strength, then it's by the Holy Spirit. If God has given you supernatural abilities to do things, you know, God gives gifts to men and women. He may give one woman a gift to do one thing. I mean, she may be the best in the world at this. And then you take another man, and he may pour out one or two gifts on that man, and he may be able to be fantastically good at what he does in those areas. But there's other areas he can't do nothing. And what we fail to do is when we have a gift, we think it's something we got. Oh, look at me. Man, I'm the best in math there was in my high school class. You know, no, you were good in math because God made you good in math. Give Him the glory and the praise, and you'll always be good in math. He'll use you mightily for His kingdom. That's a gift He give you. But don't be deceived. After this, he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Verse 21 and 22. So the Philistines captured him. Ooh, this is, I hate this. And they gouged out his eyes. As much as they hated him, I can only imagine. In fact, I saw a movie about this when I was a kid. And you know what they did in the movie? They took a piece of brass and they heated it almost red hot. And they stuck it in his eyes. And his eyes just exploded in that movie. You know how movies are. They try to make it as gory as they can. But however they done it, I know they didn't do it gently. They hated Samson because of what he had done to them. And who had sent Samson to do what he did to the Philistines? Who sent him? Yeah, if you had heard all four messages on this, you'd have learned that God was the one that brought, he was a special boy. God sent him. He told his mother and daddy before he was born she was going to conceive. She'd never been able to have children. He said, "I'm going to use him to persecute the Philistines." And he did. So who's running the show? God is. I mean, you know, he's definitely do it. He's running the show. And he says, so the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and made to grind grain in the prison. I wonder how long they give him to recover from his burned up eyes or from his gouged out eyes. Reckon they didn't let him go to a hospital?
No.
You don't think there's no such chance, huh? No, I don't think I'm right there with you, young lady. I don't think they did either. I think they gouged his eyes out and took him down and threw him in prison and said, "Get to work." Doesn't that sound just like a bunch of wicked people? Yeah, sure, that's the way they do business. You know, they gouged his eyes. They hated him because he'd been killing them. But before long, his hair began to grow back. Now, is his hair the source of his strength? No. The hair is not the source of the strength. It doesn't make any difference how long the hair is. He's a normal man, and in a little bit of time, hair starts growing back. If you get yours shaved, it's going to do the same thing. That's why I have to go to the barbershop every few weeks and get mine cut, because it starts hanging down on my shirt collar, you know, and I have to go get it cut. So praise God, you know, it grows. I love it. Verse 23 and 24. The Philistine leaders held a great festival, offering sacrifices and praising their God. Now, was their God the power behind capturing Samson? What was the reason Samson got captured? Disobedience. Disobedience to who? To God. And who left? God left. When you're disobedient, he tells us in Acts 5:32, he gives the Holy Spirit today to those that obey him. So when we don't obey him, guess what the Holy Spirit does? That source of power, he leaves. And we can't do those wonderful things. You say, well, gee, I used to pray for people and see all kinds of awesome things happen. But Lord, nothing happens anymore. Who do you need to check out? Who? Yourself. That's exactly right. Yourself. If God's not answering your prayer, and one of the things for so many men, just like in 1 Peter 3, God says, husbands, if you don't love your wives like Christ loved the church, I won't answer your prayer. That's pretty scary, isn't it? So you wonder why a lot of men don't get their prayers answered? They don't love that girl like Christ loved the church. They don't have any clue that when they don't love their sweetheart, the woman that's supposed to be their sweetheart, when they treat her like trash, then they come to church and they look all lovey-dovey. But they couldn't get a prayer answered if they wanted to. Because who answers prayer? God does. That's exactly right. So they were given... They had a great festival offering sacrifices and praising their god Dagon. They said, our God has given us victory over our enemy Samson. Well, it would be easy to think that, but he didn't. When the people saw him, they praised their god, this god Dagon, saying, our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power. See, that's what the Muslims think today, those that are really jihad terrorist Muslim. They say it's really a battle between our God and their God. And then, of course, you know, so many people today are so blinded with what's going on in the world. I mean, I was amazed when George Bush Jr. Now, I mean, George Bush, the last president of the United States before Barack Obama, you know, some people say he's a great Christian man. Well, I hope he is. But when he makes a statement that the Muslim God Allah and Jesus Christ that we serve is the same God, I got a problem with that. I have a real problem with that. Because Allah and the Quran don't teach nothing that Jesus Christ and the Holy Bible preaches. They're two totally different books. And if there was ever a time you better make sure you know that you're a born-again Christian, it's today. Because you may need the power of that Holy Ghost. We may need some men anointed with the Holy Ghost and power like Samson to protect us during what could happen in the United States of America. And who knows what the next 2 months is going to hold. But I'm going to assure you that in the next 2 months, this group that's in Washington, they're going to do everything in their power to put everything you don't want in operation before the end of the year. So you better be praying. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power. Well, he's in our power because of what? Sin. Disobedience to God. If that boy had stayed faithful to God, but who is behind all of this? God. This is what's so amazing. God is behind all of this. He's doing everything. Verse 25 and 26. Half drunk by now, the people demanded, bring out Samson so he can perform for us. So he was brought from the prison and made to stand at the center of the temple between the two pillars supporting the roof. Samson said to the servant who was leading him by the hand, place my hands against the two pillars. I want to rest against them. Now then, let's look and see how many people's up there on the roof. Verse 27 and 28. The temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine leaders were there, and there were about 3,000 on the roof. Now, if the whole temple is full underneath, and there's 3,000 people on a roof, there's a bunch of people there, a lot of them. They were watching him and Samson making fun of him. Then Samson prayed to the Lord. This is the first thing he's done right in a while. Why do we wait so long to pray, to repent of our sins? But see, that just goes to show you today, we're almost as dumb as Samson was. I see people, especially men, I guess women too, but I see men, especially men, that'll get down and get sick and get afflicted, and they're almost ready to punch out before they ever call the Living Savior Ministry to come pray for them. Isn't that a shame? You know, you would think that if they've been listening to our teachings for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, like some of them say, that as soon as they got sick and went to the doctor and the doctor said, "I'm sorry, you got a terminal disease," you would think right then they would call us, wouldn't you think? Instead of waiting till, but you have no idea how many people are on their deathbed, and we even have some of them die. And when they die, then their loved one sends us a fax, "I want you to pray that my husband will be raised from the dead." Now, we get those too. Yeah. See, I have seen some raised from the dead. So they say, if you ever talk about it once, they think, "Wow, everybody you pray for gets raised from the dead." No, let me tell you, I'm not God. I'm not God. Who can raise anybody from the dead? God, that's absolutely right. He's going to do it when you pray or when you speak a command that He's told you to do. In fact, Cheryl and I went down and visited with a 94-year-old woman, 92-year-old woman, I believe it was, and she had raised 94 people from the dead in her life. When she came to Dallas, she called me and said, "I want to talk to you." And so Cheryl and I went down to the hotel, met with her, and I asked her a question. I said, "You know, how do you know who to pray for raising from the dead?" I said, "I've only seen God raise one person from the dead. And I was called out of a deep sleep in the middle of the night when they called and said the man had died. And I just immediately came forth and rebuking the devil and asked the Lord to restore his spirit into him." I said, "And the guy come back to life." And by the way, the guy, that's been 10 or 15 years ago, and the guy's still alive and well today. He's still up, but he died at least 15 years ago. But I saw him come back to life. And I said, "How do you know who to pray for?" She said, "I never pray for the rising from the dead for anybody until I hear that voice from God say, 'Do it.'" I said, "What is the most magnificent one you've ever seen?" She said, "Oh, that was awesome." She said, "I was right here in the Metroplex speaking at a big church. And there was a woman and her two children that came to the meeting every night. And her husband didn't want her there. But she came anyway." Now, this is a disobedient woman, girls. She should have yielded to her husband and stayed at home. That's what God told her to do, but she didn't. So she came to church, brought those two children, and that night she said the man walked into the service and walked up and killed her in front of everybody and both children. And she said everybody was screaming and running, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Go up there and put your hands on them and command them to live in my name, and I will raise them from the dead." She said, "I went up there and laid my hands on the woman, the two children, and told everybody, said, 'Settle down, settle down.'" Well, you can imagine the screaming and hollering, can't you? And the daddy that was lost with a gun in his hand still aimed at him, she went up, laid her hands on him, spoke in the name of Jesus, and the mother and both kids came back to life right there. It says, and the man got saved. Now, if he didn't get saved there, hey, you might as well give up on him, right? But he did get saved. And so anyway, she told us about many experiences she had had with God. And I said, "Where did you get this anointing? How did this happen?" She said, "When I was a young girl, my mother and dad took me to all of the Smith Wigglesworth meetings." And she said, "I got to know Smith Wigglesworth on first name basis." And said, "Just before he died, he called me and said, 'God told me to pass this anointing on to you.'" And so she said, "That's where I got it." And so now she's 92 when it was, and she had raised 94 people from the dead. What an experience with God, huh? 94 people raised from the dead. I've only seen one raised from the dead, and I'll never be the same. Can you imagine? But the one that raised the one, when I spoke it years ago, can he do it for anybody? Yeah, but you know, what is it that causes us to die? What does it say brings forth death? So what is it causes all of us to die? Sin. Some kind of sin. Sin brings forth death. Cheryl and I was talking about a man that she was talking about that she used to work for just this last week, about how he was so mean and so deceiving in every way. And I said, "How old was he?" I said, "Is he alive?" She said, no, he died. I said, "How old was he when she died?" She said, 45. Wasn't that right? 45? Okay, so he came down with leukemia cancer at 45 and died at 47. Now then, Does it pay good dividends to serve God? If you serve God and love Him, He guarantees you 70 or 80 years in His Word. And if you don't obey Him, He says, I'll take you out early. And He does that. And see, people don't understand that God's in control. So right here, Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me one more time so that I may pay back the Philistines for the loss of my eyes. Now, what did God send Samson to the nation of Philistine to do? To judge the Philistines. That was what he was born for. That was his job. That's what God called him to do, to be a judge over Israel and to judge the Philistines. 29 and 30. Then Samson put his hands on the center pillars of the temple and pushed against them with all his might. Now you talk about strength. There ain't no human bone in the world that can hold that kind of pressure. There is no human being. I don't care how strong you could have worked out all of your life, and there ain't no way you could push against a huge giant stone column and push two of them out of the way with 3,000 people on top of them. You realize how much weight that is? But what can God do? Anything. It was the Holy Spirit that pushed those things out. Either that or God sent a couple of angels. Now, there would be no problem for an angel to push those out. You know, that's the way he does things. Then he says, he pushed against them with all his might. He said, let me die with the Philistines, he prayed. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine leader and all the people, so he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. Now then, verse 31. Later, his brothers and other relatives went down to get his body. They took him back home and buried him between Zoar and Esdrel, where his father, Manoah, was buried. Samson had been Israel's judge for 20 years. Okay, so he's a young man. He's a very young man. He could have been 35. You know, he could have been but he was a young man. But everything that happened to Samson in his life was directed by God. God sent him everywhere, had him to do everything. Now then, when we read those scriptures last week and week before last about God's ways are not my ways. God's ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are not mine. His thoughts are higher than mine and your ways. He don't do things like we do things. You know how true that is, huh? You know, God don't do things like we do things, does He? You know? But He's God. And who runs all of this show? God does. He runs it all. So, here's the secret today. From all of this, make sure that you obey God in everything. Obey Him. And He will give you this same Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit can be used for your life. You can have a great life. The Holy Spirit will keep you healthy. You won't have to be sick. I mean, he can do anything. And if you're already sick and afflicted and you need to be healed, all you got to do is repent of your sins. And when you repent of your sins, then the prayer of faith will heal you. You know, just like little Lauren. I praise the Lord for this little girl. You were sick and tired of being sick and tired, weren't you, girl? Now, have you had a pretty good week this last week? Pretty good, huh? I love having a good week, don't you?
Yes.
Have you had a good week this week?
Excellent week.
Did you serve God this week?
Yes.
See? So, isn't it amazing? Did you have a good week this week, girl?
Yes. Yeah.
How about you, brother? Fantastic. Did y'all serve God this week?
Yes.
You see that? Now, isn't that amazing? When we obey God, He blesses us, doesn't He? But what did He say? I withhold how many good things from my children that obey me? Nothing. He doesn't withhold anything from you. And doesn't that make life wonderful? When God withholds no good things. Now, there's one thing I want Him to withhold. Judgment. I don't want any bad things. Do you?
No.
I only want the good things. I love the good things. I don't want to be cursed, that's for sure. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise You and thank You for the day. We thank You for all the people that are here. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for what You used Samson for and how You judged the Philistines, but how it even cost Samson his life and how he died as such a young man. Lord, I praise You and thank You for all the examples in God's Word that You show us so we will know what we need to do if we want to have a long, healthy life. And Lord, thank you for showing us that in the Word, and we want to be blessed and have a long, healthy life. Now, Father, as people do come forward to be prayed for, whatever their prayer requests are, we ask you to give us the knowledge and the wisdom as all of us that are here, whether it be me and Cheryl or Eldon and Nancy or Sharon or Pat or Rosemary, or Dave's back too now, any of us that here at the ministry, we'll be able to pray the prayer of faith for you. And we thank you and praise you, Father, for touching the people and whatever their request is, that you answer and show them and bless them and restore them and make them whole. Whatever the problem is, just let them realize all they got to do is repent of sin and then believe your promises, and they will get their answer. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.